Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Super Rugby podcast with your hosts, Damien Warren and
Toby Harris.
Toby, what have you been up to over the Easter break?
Absolutely nothing.
You've been playing a bit of golf,
though. I played golf yesterday. This is very true. Do you know what I did on Thursday? And you'll be quite proud of me for doing that. No, it was Friday. What I did, it was a beautiful day. I walked into town.
Yeah?
Yeah. Bought myself a beer, perched on a seat, and I read my book.
So you're Billy?
Billy. Oh, Nigel.
Nigel Nomates.
Yeah. Hey, it was really good, actually.
What book are you reading?
I'm reading a book called, it's just a picture book.
That's what I was going to say.
No, it's called The Rosie Project. It's good.
Go on, tell us a bit more about The Rosie Project.
So it's about this bloke who's autistic. And he's a lecturer in Melbourne, and he's created this questionnaire to find his perfect wife.
Okay.
So that's called the Wife Project.
Yeah.
And so he hands out this questionnaire to, you know, all these women.
Yeah.
And it's,
he's trying to pick up tips to finally find the right one.
Oh, mate, that's not fair, eh?
Well, no.
That's not fair.
No, sorry, did I go too deep?
So if there are any ladies out there who want their last name to be Harris.
To be interested in Uncouth Kiwi, who reads picture books.
Whoa, you can't read a picture book, mate.
You are cultured. For a New Zealander, you are incredibly cultured.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say.
Yeah, no worries.
Whether you mean it or not,
nope.
It's a different story. But yeah, my number's O-snip.
Can I just say, sir, that I've just realised I've got old.
Yeah.
Okay, so the way
you... Did you realise that?
The way you know you're old...
Oh, no, here
there's
we
a,
go.
There's a couple of things.
Okay.
First one is, you talk about cars.
Okay.
And you say this. You say, why do you spend all that money on a car? It's just to get you from A to B. Okay, that's ridiculous. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I washed it out with soap. But then the second thing was, I woke up the other day and I thought, oh, I quite fancy buying a caravan. Yeah, bad, eh?
Did you buy a caravan?
No.
Oh,
no, but I thought about it.
I fancy
it.
That. Maybe not. Yeah, no. Yeah, like a van.
You know, a van's okay.
Yeah.
Like that's still, you're still youthful.
Okay.
Right? Caravan, towing a caravan.
Oh, nah.
Yeah.
Caravan club. Right?
And then the last thing is, you put on weight looking at chocolate. You don't even have to eat it anymore.
I can't put on any weight. I'm trying.
Mate, I can give you some tips. I'm real good at it. All I've got to say is I've been really healthy over Easter. Had like one Easter egg. still put on 2 kgs just because there was chocolate around me. Chocolate was around me. That's all it takes.
I didn't have any Easter eggs.
You had none?
No.
That is bad, eh? You should have gone to that pub, got your book out, got yourself a beer, and had an Easter egg.
Yeah, you're right. I should have done. I was there for quite a while, actually. It's really quite good. So you read a chapter and then you just stop and people watch for a bit.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And then all the ladies came round me.
Yeah, ask
get
your
off
autograph.
That, get off that seat. Can we have your seat, please?
Sorry.
07.
Now, sir, before we go any further and bore people to death,
yep.
We've got some messages from our supporters.
We do.
We finally got a response from Willow.
We finally so
we're
got
relieved
a response.
That we haven't annoyed her to the point where she's left.
Morning, lads. Despite your hatred of TikTok, I'm still listening. Which is good, isn't it? I wouldn't say I have a hatred, but I don't really like it. I was reflecting on your chat about the ABs lacking spark. Could Damien McKenzie fill that role?
It's really interesting, isn't it? I always find with the All Blacks that they have these players who are really sparky. Damien McKenzie, when he first came in, was really, really kind of sparky. Bowden Barrett,
George Bridge.
They're all fantastic players. Yeah. And it's almost like the All Blacks coach that out of them. You know, they coach them down to become these kind of, you know, jack of all trades. They lose that spark, that sidestep.
Well, they lose their flair, their personality, don't they?
That's right.
Or their playing personality.
So the only one that's kind of stayed around like that was Carlos Spencer.
Yeah.
He's the only one that came in and seemed to...
Any current players, not in New Zealand but elsewhere, that have that spark...
Finn Russell, but
yep.
I would argue he's getting that coached out of him
as well.
Yeah,
I agree.
You know, because in test match rugby, you make a small mistake, then it becomes a real big issue.
I think you
get punished for it.
Yeah, because where's he? Is he playing at Russing?
Who? Damien
Finn
McKenzie.
Russell.
Finn Russell. Yeah, he's Russing. Yeah.
So
he should be good over there.
Yeah, he is pretty good over there, isn't he? But then when he comes back for Scotland, because he does have that flair. I reckon they've said, look, if you want to continue playing for Scotland, you just need to dumb it down a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
And I think maybe that's what the All Blacks are doing.
So, Damien McKenzie, I don't think so. The only, and I say that because he's going to have to play at fullback. And there's already Will Jordan that's playing really, really well. I would say Will Jordan is the only player at the moment that I am excited by. And I think opposition play teams and... You know, every time he gets the ball, it's exciting.
Yes.
So he is one player. So I love Damien McKenzie. I think he's brilliant. And when he first hit the scene, he was unbelievable. The excitement machine. I think he's still got that in him. But I think he's tried to cement that All Black spot by being this reliable player.
But also, he's gotten a bit older. Not saying that he's lost pace or he's lost skill, but it's kind of like... He's got a bit more fear. You know, when you're younger, you play with no fear.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
You know, but now it's kind of like, oh, I need to play. He's not playing to impress now, if that makes sense. You know, when you first get on the scene, you're like, right, I need to impress here. I need to do anything and everything I can to stay in the squad.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play out my skin.
Yeah.
But then once you're in the squad, it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, I just need to.
You start playing within yourself. You spoke about that with your golf, didn't you? You know, when you just try and hit it like 300.
Yes.
And then you realise actually trying to hit it 250.
Yeah.
You get more consistency.
Yes.
And maybe that's the same for all players.
Yeah.
Lamape, here's a good example of a player who came into the All Blacks, an excitement machine,
yeah.
Boshing and bashing and all that.
Coached out of him.
Coached out of him.
Yeah. And I've got a new story on that actually as well.
Oh, do you? Dovetailing in, sir. Dovetailing in. So I don't think Damien McKenzie, unfortunately, is the answer.
No.
But he could be.
I think he is part of the answer.
Yes.
But maybe not the full answer.
No. All right, sir. It's time for the Super Brew.
Oh, right, I'm starting with the top Oh, what have you done here? Oh, the top four.
So this is from the last round of results.
Yes. Round nine. Ben Affleck, Hank the Tank, Jed, Damo.
No, mate. No.
Am I looking at the wrong one?
Go to the top, mate.
That
go
is the top.
Oh, you've got obviously different than me, eh?
Yes.
You've got different than me.
Have you got round nine?
I've got round nine right at the top. There should be four there, mate, and I'm going to do it for you.
Okay.
I've got at the top from the round was Binglington.
Oh, that's just the points, though.
Yeah, that's the points for the last round.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh,
Sam
man.
Wise. Sam Wise was below me. He was below me.
He was. M-Hill, 666. Oh.
Village.
He got a good round. But you got to give an honourable mention to the Razzler, the Dazzler.
Yeah, you
in
do.
Fifth spot.
Yeah, he has shot up.
He has shot up. He's way away from you. And then at the bottom, I'm very, very close. I got the same points as Coley the Foley.
You are. To be fair, I only got one more point than you did.
So overall, Ben Affleck on top. Hank the Tank, Jed, and then Damo.
Yeah, went to Milan.
Fell off a cliff.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, and Ben
mush.
Affleck, after saying you don't win races at the start, he's coming back
consistent.
Strong, isn't he?
Staying consistent at the bottom. Coley Poley's still there.
Yep.
The log.
Do you know what? He's narrowed the gap, though, Coley the Poley, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's done well.
He's done well. The he's log. Well. You've had a shocker, son.
He only got 2 points.
And then there's a huge gap.
Where's that? There's a huge gap. There's a 9 point gap there. Weslow, old J-Bird 007.
Oh,
village.
Look at you though, sir. You are in.
Well, Sam, I'm still not in that bottom four. I'm not in that bottom four.
I tell you what though, mate, J-Bird 007. I've never cheered for someone more.
But honestly, Sam Wise had an absolute fantastic round, didn't he? Got out
he
of there.
Did. Oh, I'd love you to finish in the bottom four.
Sir. Would you?
I would love it.
I hope that you fall off a cliff.
I will, but I can't finish in the bottom four. Right, mate, it's time for
breaking news.
Kindly supported by
Super XV.
Rugby website.
Yeah,
for all your
needs.
Rugby needs. Do you want to go first?
Yes, I'll go first. Yeah. So just going on from what we were saying about Lamarpe and how he was coming in, you know, with a bit of flair.
Yeah.
There's been a bit of chat from Sir John Kerwin.
Oh, Sir John Kerwin. I used to love Sir John Kerwin.
What's wrong with him now?
He kind of is sometimes talks rubbish.
Yes. Excellent. So he has said, put him straight in. And this is John talking about Tuivasa-Sheck.
Put him straight. I agree.
Put him straight into the All Blacks.
I agree. You've got to roll
fast
the dice on that.
Tracked. Yeah, I agree. So he's just been sort of talking about just putting him straight into the All Blacks. Get him in there. See what he's like. Will he become a Lamarpe?
No.
Why not?
Because Lamarpe was a big unit, he was just a hard ball runner. He had something that we desperately needed.
Yeah.
Whereas Rogers, more of a stepper, a very, very good player, and I'm sure will offer something different for the All Blacks, but they're not the same group of players. That's why I think it's really important who plays at 13 for the All Blacks.
You want him to play at 13?
No, I don't want him to play at 13, but I think if he plays with another smaller player outside him, the only way around that is if we have two big wings. So you could have the Bus and Fainuku, and then you could bring them into the back line.
Why not put Fainuku at 13?
Yeah, we talked about this last week, didn't we? I'd go Caleb Clark, but that's me. That's never going to happen.
No.
Whereas Lester Fainuku, it could happen. I just think that I don't see that happening. I don't think the All Blacks. I think the All Blacks are going to go for Barrett at 12. But honestly, no. That's what I think, mate. You can't argue with what I think. That's all I've got to say.
Why do you think that?
Because he loves them, doesn't he? Fozzie loves the Barrett brothers.
Really?
He loves the Barrett Brothers. So all he's going to do is go, oh, I can play Bodie at 10 and I can play Geordie at 12.
Oh, play Scott at 13,
I
eh?
Play Scott at 13. You know what? That wouldn't be a bad idea.
No, it wouldn't be a bad idea.
Oh, we can get his sister to play on the wing. And then we go for Kane. He can just coach with me.
Who?
And his dad. His
who
dad
would go
can,
13
his dad,
then?
His dad can bring out the oranges at halftime.
Who would go 13?
His dad can take over my role.
Do a better
job.
I'll
become director of rugby or something like that.
He'd do a better job than me. What? Yeah, who would play 13 then outside him?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You're going to go Rico, aren't you? I mean,
you have to.
Angelina Brown's out.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a good thing because it's one less headache to be choosing from. So, yeah, I feel really down about it, eh? I just hope they be brave. I don't think Fozzie has a brave bone in his body when it comes to selections.
So I spoke to someone about it yesterday. And this bloke was an English fan, and he sort of said, you know, who are the favourites for the World Cup? And I've said it on here before, you know, I know France are the favourites on paper, the bookies' favourites, but you still can't count out New Zealand. You just can't count them out. You can't. I don't care what you say. You can't.
Unless they're brave.
Unless
they're brave, I'm really sorry. If they do what they've done over the last 2 years, then I think they're really going to struggle.
I agree. I think they will struggle.
You're right. You can't count them out. It's like saying you count out England.
You can't.
Or France or South Africa. You can't.
No.
Could you count out Australia? No.
No, I don't think so.
You can. Don't think you can.
So I told him that there were five teams that could win it.
And did he agree?
And he
kind of agreed.
He said, why not Ireland? And I just sort of said that I don't think they've got the depth for a tournament.
Now, I have got a topic on the red cards.
Yes.
Barrett, Amua and Dixon.
Yep.
Cop bans.
They did.
So I was quite surprised by this because I watched the game and I actually texted you at the time and said, what did you think of the red card, Barrett's red card? The Crusaders went down to 13. Now, it's a real tough one because it is a red card, but it's a red card this year and probably a yellow last year.
Right.
And will it be a yellow next year? And my point is they got 10 weeks, these three.
10 weeks?
10 weeks between them.
Oh, right.
So,
okay.
So I worked from
that. Someone got four or what?
Yeah. So obviously it doesn't actually say, but it does say that Amua got three.
Right.
And Dixon got three.
Okay. So Barrett got four.
You're working on your math. You'd say that Barrett gets four, which that's pretty lenient because he's been red carded before.
Right.
And you start on 6 weeks and only mitigation brings you down.
Right, okay.
I'm not sure he had a lot of mitigation.
Was it an awful tackle? Well, I haven't seen it.
It's not that. It's just that he's had red cards before.
Right,
so,
you know,
it's like, oh, you start with six.
Yeah.
For good behaviour.
Like a warning.
You know, you've not done this before type thing. So I thought it was weird that he only got four. I mean, I'm obviously very, very pleased by that. But there's a lot of red cards. There's a lot of yellow cards going out. What's the future going to look like for rugby? Because it seems like every game there's a yellow or red card that I can think of. There's actually more reds than yellows at the moment.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, this brings me on to quite a good segue into my next news story.
Yeah.
And the Leicester Tigers coach, Steve Borthwick.
Yes.
Has been accused. So the headline is, Borthwick denies Leicester tackle issues a result of poor training. So I think Leicester have had a couple of red cards or a couple of, you know, dangerous tackles in their game against Clermont. And the publicity has sort of gone on. Oh, it's obviously the coach's fault in training.
It's tackle technique.
It's tackle technique, yeah, rather than, you know, a brain explosion.
Yeah.
What do you think by that?
Yes and no. You know, when you're put under pressure, you go back to default. So even if you're coaching low tackle technique, if you've been tackling high for a number of years, when you're put into stressful situations,
and when you get tired, eh?
Yeah, you're going to go back to default. This is, you know, psychologically, there is a term for it.
Yeah.
You revert back to type, basically. So you can't hide bad habits when you're tired and you're under stress. So even if you're working on really good tackle technique, it's going to take probably 2 or 3 years for that to feed through to performance. When players get tired or under stress, they're not thinking, they're not having the ability to make good decisions.
It'll take time for it to become second nature.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it takes a long time to come second nature. You've got to rewrite the motor programs that have taken place for years and years and years before. And so you can't really blame coaching now. What you could say is, you know, and rightfully so, they've probably been teaching sort of that rap tackle for the last 5 or 6 years, you know.
So that was to stop the offload,
correct,
wasn't it?
And you had to.
Yeah.
And if you weren't doing that as a coach, you weren't doing your job.
Yeah.
So I disagree. People that write these things are idiots, really. They don't know what they're talking about.
No.
You know, because if they did know what they're talking about, I guess they wouldn't have a story to write about.
They wouldn't be writing. Yeah, exactly. That.
I've got a good one, mate.
Mm.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
6'8" and 145 kgs.
What?
An Aussie who chose to lose over a shot at the NFL.
Jeez, that's
145 kgs.
What position does he play?
Guess.
Number 8.
Nah, lock.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I could have guessed that. Wow.
Big
that's
unit.
Big.
So Emmanuel M. You like that hair? I just cut his name short because I can't pronounce the last name. He's 23 years old and he had the opportunity.
He's only 23.
Yeah, to play in the NFL. And he turned it down because he wants to play for Australia, which I think is great.
He's playing in Toulouse at the moment.
He's just playing in Toulouse. Obviously, he's 23. I mean, this is a little bit of where we're at, isn't it? That the young players, they get picked up, they play for. But he's going to have to come back
at some
point.
He will, because he hasn't got any caps.
Yes, but they are allowed to choose like 2 or 3.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, so they've changed the rules now. So they've got this.
Are they going to pick him?
Well, I don't think so. Not yet.
The guy about to tackle him, great technique.
Well, the guy, yeah. Yeah, well, good.
Do you reckon he tackles him?
No.
No. Not a chance.
He's going for one leg. He's got no chance. I mean, imagine 145 kgs running down your chest. I mean, I'm a big chock. And 145 kgs is another half of me.
That's almost double my weight.
I know. How are you going to stop that?
Kick him in the face.
I think you've got to go dirty on that, don't you?
Slap him. Yeah. Have I told you a story when I was a young whippersnapper, when I was about 12, there was a guy who was about 145 kilograms. No, not that heavy, but he was a big chap. And I was this little weedy white boy with chicken legs.
Yeah.
And he ran straight at me. This was at lunchtime. You know, why are you going so hard out, man? Chill out. He was running straight at me, and I was like, if I go down, he'll bunt me. So what I did is I jumped. I jumped and bear hugged him.
Yeah.
And I got him down.
You got him down, yeah. I've told you my Jonah Lomu story.
It was scary.
I've told you my Jonah Lomu story.
Have you?
I must have told you my journey. I've told everyone. At training, he was running the training session with a lot of the All Blacks.
Right.
And we're doing these one-on-one drills. So he thought he'd come in for a one-on-one.
Oh.
Guess who he's up against? Yeah.
The Daemonator.
So I was like, you know, I've got nothing to lose here, literally. I got nothing to lose. Everyone is expecting me to get run over.
Yes.
So I was like, right, how? I've watched everyone on TV do it. No one's managed it yet.
I have got nothing to go off.
So I've got no tips. I mean, what did my dad say when I was a young whippersnapper? He said, go around the bootlaces. Go around the
Did you pull his bootlaces? Trip them up that way.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Right. I can confirm. I went around the bootlaces, right, and my head hit his boots.
Right, good.
I don't think my arms made any contact.
Good. Right. Did you trip him up, though?
I tripped him up. Grass cutter. Fell over.
Love
he
that.
Fell over, yes. Right? I can confirm the bigger they are, the harder they fall on top of you. That's all I've got to say.
You grass cutted him.
I was concussed, but I was happy. I was so happy to have taken down the big fella.
Yeah, the big fella.
But he tripped up. He got back up and got over the line and scored.
Love
but
that.
In a game, someone else would have been there and they would have jumped on top of him.
Yeah.
And it would have been a successful tackle.
Would have been turnover ball.
But, you know, he was 118 kgs, Jonah Lomu. This guy's 145. To put it into perspective, the NFL players playing in his position, which would be defensive lineman, would be getting $16 million a year.
What?
All right.
What?
So, but he is on 1.5 million.
At Toulouse?
He would have been offered that at the NFL, 1.5 million on a rookie contract.
Right, okay.
So that's still massive money.
Yeah.
He's not obviously making anywhere near that.
No.
Playing for Toulouse. Because he literally was taken as a real young whippersnapper. And he's just gone through the, you know, he's now playing at the top level.
Yeah.
But he started off, you know, playing reserve grade stuff. But very interesting, isn't it? He gave up a chance to play the NFL, which he would have been on 1.5 million to play for the Wallabies. That's what he wants to do.
Wow.
Great story, isn't
it? Stupid. Really, really stupid.
When he looks back in later life, is he gonna be happy with his decision?
I wish I wasn't a rugby coach. Wish I could have retired early.
Is that you done, mate?
Yeah, results.
It is results, yeah. There's some really interesting results, I think, from the weekend.
There are. And I think we should almost touch on most of them. You know, the Chiefs had a fantastic win. A big win.
Yeah.
Highlanders, Hurricanes.
Heartbreaking. Heartbreaking loss, I would say, to the Highlanders who should have, would have, could have got over the line, had the ball down over the line, but because the referee said, you know, I think it's held up, they couldn't overturn the decision. So if the referee had said, I've got the ball down, tell me a reason why this isn't a try. So that was the difference in the two. So heartbreaking loss.
But the thing is, like there, I would have loved to have seen the Highlanders win.
Yes.
But then for my Super Brew, it's like, No. I need the Hurricanes to score again.
Do you
again.
Know, I had the Highlanders by five. So if he had scored that
you
try,
did.
I would have had it.
By six.
By six.
Yeah.
So I would have got.
You would have got a lot of points.
So I was absolutely gutted. And then obviously the Crusaders losing.
Yep.
That killed my round.
So
dirty on it, eh? I think the most impressive performance of the whole weekend for me was the Waratahs beating the Force 41-24. Was a really, really good game, and it just shows the Waratahs are going from strength to strength.
100%. They were the donkey team the other year, weren't they?
Last year. Last year they didn't win a game.
No, they didn't.
So, you know, wow.
What a turnaround.
What a turnaround.
The Reds narrowly beating the Rebels. I thought the Rebels were quite impressive, actually.
Yeah, the Rebels have come back real strong.
I was expecting that. And then, obviously, earlier in the week, the Hurricanes walloping Moana Pacific again.
Do you know what, though? I still think that's a good you know, Moana Pacifica, the fact they're playing with a small squad, they're playing all these matches, they've had a victory already this season.
Yeah.
Potentially, when we look at the games coming up, they might get another few. I would say that's an incredibly successful season.
But they're scoring tries.
Yes.
You know, that's the good thing.
They're playing good rugby.
Yeah.
You know, they're playing good rugby. Over to the Heineken Cup, bizarre. This is bizarre. It's like a home
and
away.
Are we going to go through the standings?
No, no, no.
Yeah.
No.
So Blues are on top, Brumbies, Reds, Crusaders. So yeah, two and two.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So that means if it stays as it is.
Top eight.
Is it top eight?
It's top eight.
Right, okay. Top eight. Sort of ruined what I was going to
say. You should know your competition, mate. You do a podcast on it.
Two,
each week.
2, 4, 6, 8. Western Force would be in there.
Yeah, they won't be though, will they? They won't be. Anyway, going over to the Heineken Cup. I'm not going to go through all the results, but what I would say is this is like a home and away, home and away. So they're quite interesting because all of these teams played each other last week, and the biggest one was the Harlequins beating Montpellier 33-20. Now, if Harlequins had have beaten them by two extra points, one extra point, then they would have gone through.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So in the quarterfinals, it's Racing 92 versus Sale. Racing's going to win that. Montpellier versus La Rochelle, which would be a good matchup. Toulouse versus Munster, another good matchup. And Leicester versus Leinster.
That'll be a cracking game.
Imagine commentating that. You'd be like, that's all going to be, they're going to be played over three consecutive days, which is going to be absolutely fantastic and well worth. I think the match of that will be the Montpellier La Rochelle and the Leicester Leinster.
Yeah,
two
I agree.
Very, very good matches. Mate, what caught your eye from the weekend?
Well, what caught my eye, well, the first one was the Crusaders game.
Yeah,
because I watched. I could only watch the first half.
Yeah.
But it was just end to end stuff, and it was so close. But then the Blues just sort of.
Yeah, they took their foot off the accelerator. I think Bodie Barrett's going to take a little bit of that on his shoulders. They went to a holding game.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
They let the. I mean, I think to be fair to them, you know, Crusaders went down to 13 players.
Yeah.
And, you know, they went and Blues went field position. They could have really thrown the...
Put the foot on the throat.
Yeah, at that point.
Stop playing footsies with me, man.
Oh, sorry, mate. Sorry, I thought you liked that type of stuff. Was a great game of rugby. And
yeah.
I think we found the fastest man in world rugby, which is Rico. And we found the slowest, which is the Crusader replacement lock. Because I'll tell you what, I was watching that game. And the ball came out. I was like, yeah, boy. Oh, he's gonna walk in there. Even I could score that one. They got bundled out.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Great covering defense, though.
It was, but I mean, how did he get bundled out?
I don't know.
I was gutted. But actually, to be absolutely honest, it's possibly the best thing that could happen to the Crusaders. Because I said right at the start of the season, didn't I?
They've lost two now, haven't they?
Yeah. I said right at the start of the season, they shouldn't be seen as the favourites because I don't think they have enough in that. Now, they have enough in the squad because they've got a wonderful squad, but in certain key positions, I think they've just got it wrong. So my prediction is this. The Crusaders have 1-1-1-1-1 and they don't have the hunger like the Blues or the Chiefs or the Brumbies or the Reds.
They've got nothing to really strive for. You know, with that game, the Blues hadn't won there since
18 years.
Yeah, was it 2008 or something?
Yeah.
Something ridiculous. So
2006.
Oh, was it 2006?
2006, yeah.
So, you know, they had something to work for. But now the Crusaders have won so much. They've set records. There's no record to beat.
Yeah, there's no one in that team currently that's lost. Now, arguably, some people would have said, well, the Blues won last year. They didn't really win. They won the Trans-Tasman competition.
Yes.
They still didn't beat the Crusaders.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. When it was the Aotearoa comp, the Crusaders won.
Yeah.
So there's no one in that squad that's suffered losses. And now they have. Now they've lost twice. Now they know the hurt. And it's come early enough for them potentially to learn.
Oh, definitely. I still think they'll win the competition.
I don't know, mate.
It'll be interesting to see, actually. Because next week is when it all comes together, eh?
Yes. I'm really looking forward to it.
Same.
Now, on that note, is Leon McDonald the new daddy of New Zealand rugby? Because let me just give you some examples. Leon McDonald has turned around a Blues side who have always flattered to deceive, right? They've chucked different coaches in it. They've chucked All Black greats at it. They've done everything they can. No one's been successful.
Yeah.
He has already been successful last year, and he's looking good this year. He has managed to convince Dan Carter to play for the Blues. He's managed to convince Joe Smith to coach for the Blues. He's managed to convince RTC, where he could have gone to any club, to play for the Blues. Bowden Barrett to come to the Blues. He has overseen Hosking Satutu, Dalton Papali'i, Yukira Iwani, Kurt Eklund, Finlay Christie, and he's got them through the age group system and promoted them. He's also convinced people like Bryce Heem, from when he's coming back from overseas, to play for him.
Yeah.
And he's an impressive guy.
He's actually
guy.
Doing okay, isn't he?
But the big one is, he picked out guys like Luke Romano, who, you know, is at the twilight of their career and given them more energy to play. He played a full 80, Luke Romano. He hasn't played 80 minutes forever.
Ever.
You know? So you got to take your hat off to him. Imagine imagine if this continues and they become really dominant.
It'll be interesting, actually. It will be cool to see in a couple of years, because we thought Scott Robinson was the next best thing.
Well, I still think
he is.
What I would say is they were out-coached. Crusaders were out-coached. Joe Smith's signature marks are all over there at the moment at the ruck. So it's so interesting to see. Joe Smith is a very, very good operator. And I've already seen how...
Smooth operator.
Yeah. I'd love to go and spend some time with him and pick his brains. Pick his brains.
Something that caught my eye, and it was actually in the Highlanders Hurricanes game.
Yeah.
Now, the Hurricanes got out to a nice easy lead, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
And I was like, oh, here we go. Yeah. Like, it's going to be a bit of a walkover.
Yeah.
Highlanders came right back into it.
They did.
Loved that. But also, I saw... why are you giggling at me, mate?
I'm just giggling because I've got something down here about Scott Gregory.
Oh, do you? I've got... Oh, how dross is he?
He
made one good tackle and that was it. Anyway, it came up on the television. I think your mate, number 10, who plays... What's his
Mitch
name?
Hunt?
No.
Oh, Marty Banks.
Marty Banks, he was playing.
Yeah.
He's only 32 years old.
Mate, that's old.
I thought he was way older. I thought he was like 36.
Nah.
He's only 32.
For an average rugby player, that's old.
He is average as well, isn't he? He's average.
He's amazing. I love Marty Banks.
Excuse me.
He punches well above his weight.
Well,
because he weighs nothing. Did you see his little chicken legs? Oh, I love Marty Banks. What were you going to say? You were going to say that they came back strong, blah, blah, blah. Did I cut you off?
No, that was it, really.
Shall I go on my Scott Gregory?
Yes, you...
Scott Gregory had a shocker.
Yeah, he did.
First three tries were such bad defense.
I know, he's so poor.
But then he almost could have won it. He made a little break at the end. He got within like 2 metres of the line.
I bet you probably knocked it on.
Really? It was a really good match.
It was a really good match.
And as I say, on another day, the Highlanders would have won. Now, it's really interesting to see how they're going to compete with the Aussie teams.
Highlanders?
Yeah. They could go and win every game.
They could.
Or they could
lose every game, like, again.
Ooh, I'm not sure. I think they'll beat
the Rebels. But then the Rebels had a really good game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. It's not going to be easy, is it?
No, it's not. It'll be good.
It's not going to be. Other things I've got here is the Force Waratahs. They've come back really strong. We've touched on this. Do you know what I really like is you can see some really good coaching taking place. They've got a really good system of bringing their forward runners on from blind side.
What, the Rebels?
No, this is the Waratahs.
Oh, okay.
So you know how in New Zealand we pass the ball out to a group of forwards who are standing still?
Yeah.
And they crash it up. What the Waratahs are doing is they've got their forwards kind of coming from behind the nine.
Okay.
And running on a little bit of an arc.
Okay.
So that when they're getting it, they're really steaming onto it.
Yeah.
And it's really, really difficult to stop, especially with big, strong ball carriers. But it was great to see Hooper back.
Hooper, poop, scooper.
Two tries.
He's a good player.
He is a really good player. He is a good player. But it's just interesting to see the difference between the Aussie teams and the New Zealand teams. New Zealand teams, static forward runners or catchers. Because they're not running with it.
Slips. They're in the slips.
Then the ball goes out the back. Whereas with the Aussies, they put a lot more pace on the ball. I probably would like to see the Kiwis adding that into their game. So you've got a bit of both. Would be good.
It would be good. I was just looking at next week's games.
Yeah. Some great games coming up.
Chiefs, Waratahs.
That's a tough one to pick. I'm definitely going Chiefs, but it is in Aussie, so therefore, you know.
What? Chiefs, Waratahs? No, it's in.
It's in Aussie.
Well.
They're all being played.
Are they?
Being played at Amy Park,
right,
aren't they?
Right, okay.
Raz's got tickets, mate.
Oh, that, yeah, village. Moana Pacifica, Force, Blues, Fiji, Jura, Hurricanes, Reds. That'll be a good game.
Yeah.
Highlanders, Brumbies.
Good game.
Crusaders, Rebels. Hype.
Yeah, yeah.
That Chiefs Waratahs will be the pick.
I think the Chiefs will get over the line there. I do really think that. But it's going to be very interesting. I'm going to watch every single game on the weekend.
They're all on pretty good times, actually.
Yeah. Hunter Paisami, mate.
Yeah.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You know, he's playing out of his skin.
He is playing at the very, moment. Very well.
That his tackling has been great, but his little touches. He made a JOC put a little kick through on the weekend. Hunter Paisami got it, and just like straight away, no two steps. He got it. He'd already seen the player.
Just released
it out and set up the try outside
of that was Hunter Paisami's weakness in a bit, his defence, wasn't it?
No, his defence has always been good, but his ball handling hasn't been as strong as it needed to be.
Okay.
You know, he's always been a good runner.
Yeah.
He kind of used to be a little bit, you know, direct there, a little bit too direct at times. But now he's really worked on his game. So, but I think the most impressive player of the weekend for me, people are talking about Dalton Papali'i, who was just awesome on the weekend.
He was, yeah.
Fraser McWright. He's the 7 for the Reds. He is the best young player around. And, you know, in Europe, we're looking for big sixes, big sevens, big eights. And actually, have Australia stumbling over the secret sauce, which is two small loose forwards in Fraser McWright and Hooper.
Yeah, but remember they had that before, didn't they? Pocock and Hooper.
Yeah. It worked really well.
Well, they were in the World Cup final.
Yeah. So I'm going to say, if they can incorporate both those guys into their starting team, that could be really interesting for me.
Be good.
Run the bigger teams off their feet.
Yeah, but also, you can still get, you know, into good positions, like body positions, I mean, to win that ball. And I think almost the smaller people are harder to get off the ball.
Yes. I think following that trend of bigger players is a dangerous game to play at the moment because everyone's going big.
Yeah.
And we all know if everyone goes big, then the small guy often is a good opportunity.
Yes.
So, mate, we're off to listeners' questions.
We are.
Do you want to read it?
I will. Hi, boys. There is always a lot of talk about players coming and going after a World Cup cycle. With that in mind, what about the coaches of the national sides? Name your replacements for the following teams. Wales, England, New Zealand, Australia. And that's from James in Melbourne.
Let's go for England first. I think Warren Gatland's got it nailed on.
Do you think?
Yeah. I think he's got it nailed on.
Okay. Warren Gatland.
There could be a number of others. Farrell eventually will probably make his way to England, I would imagine.
Do you think?
But I don't think it's now. I think he's doing a good job with Ireland.
He is doing a good job, yeah.
So I think that'll happen there.
Australia?
I think they'll stick.
I think they will stick.
I think they'll stick for another 4 years, no matter what happens at the World Cup, because they could have a shocker and not make it out of their pool, but I think they will.
Do you know who's in their pool?
Well, it's the pool of death, isn't it? I think there's Fiji in there. Aussie, I think.
Fiji, Wales and Aussie, yeah.
Yeah.
The pool of death.
They are the pool of death, aren't they?
Fiji
are going to be real good. Fiji are going to get out of the pool. 100%. Put your house on it now.
Wow. I can't believe that.
Put your house on it now. Okay, New Zealand.
The pool of death is South Africa, Ireland and Scotland.
Oh, that is pretty bad.
That is not good.
No, not good, that one. There's two pools of death. What about New Zealand?
Scott, Joe Smith, or Leon McDonald?
I don't think Joe Smith's going to want to be head coach.
Okay.
But I would love to see those three. You got Liam McDonald's doing the backs.
Okay.
Right. You got Scotty Robinson doing the forwards and the overall environment that he's very, very good
and
at.
And what's Joe Smith doing?
Joe Smith is like tactical nous.
Okay.
Brilliance.
Yeah. Moves.
Everything.
Yeah.
He's basically the head coach, but not the head coach.
Okay. The overseer.
Because I think the only thing with Joe Smith is he kind of is a bit intense, whereas Scotty Robinson, you know, has a relaxed...
Yeah, chalk and
him.
Cheese, it's good.
Chalk and cheese, which then goes to Wales, because Wales, I think you could get, depending on what happens.
I think you could get Scott Robinson for Wales.
Tony Brown as well on that all-black outfit. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Crikey.
You could get it. I don't think, who would want to go to Wales and do that job, though? I wouldn't.
No.
Because you just, they're going to struggle, aren't they?
Yeah.
The good times are over.
Good times are over for a while.
Yeah.
Right, mate, my question to you. If you could coach any provincial team, so Heartland team in New Zealand, who would it be?
Wow.
And you can't go Buller.
No, I wouldn't go Buller because the weather's terrible. I go up north somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I'd probably go the Bay are in, they're not in the Heartland, are they?
Bay of Plenty.
Nah, they're in the Premiership. Yeah,
they're the big dogs.
East Coast.
Would you go to East Coast?
I'd go to the East Coast. Do you know why? I played the East Coast and they had the best aftermatch functions. So I'm
going to hung you on there.
So I'm
bit
going,
of a porphyry.
I'm going for the food and the beaches on the with the East Coast boys.
With the boys. So my dad... got an email from Rico Gear.
Did he?
Yeah, Rico Gear is the coach of East Coast.
He is, yeah.
Yeah. And he asked Dad if he would oversee the East Coast.
Really?
Yeah.
What did your dad say?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So Dad's going to be helping coach the East Coast.
Oh, that'd be awesome,
That's funny, eh?
Is that because Rico might need to nip off and go and do other things?
I don't know.
That's awesome, eh?
Yeah, I think it because it's kind of Rico's mate. I think Jose is
playing,
coaching, and playing there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's quite like some young guns. So it's just gonna he's just gonna oversee and do some tactics and stuff like that.
Fantastic.
That's pretty cool.
East
isn't
Coast
it?
To see that. That's what I'd have to work with. Basically, your dad's got my job. Okay. My question to you, if you could have season tickets to any sporting team in the world, who would you go for? Now, I've gone through a couple of things. You'd live there also. So you'd have rugby, rugby league, NFL, NBA, baseball. Didn't think about ice hockey, cricket, rugby sevens. Now, with the rugby sevens, because, you know, you'd be on the world tour.
So I'd get to travel around.
You get to travel around, or football.
I mean, rugby would be good.
Yeah.
Rugby would be nice. NFL would be cool.
Yeah. 100%.
Obviously.
Yeah. Well, who would your team be for the NFL?
Oh, I don't know.
Because you're going to live there.
Yeah, okay. LA Rams.
Yeah, see, that's the one that comes now. Everyone that's in America will go, oh, what did they, what, you know, but there must be better places than that. But that's the first one that came to my mind as well. Because they are
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Down there. The Bucks. I would
Miami
go there.
Miami Dolphins?
No.
Why not?
Their village.
Oh, yeah, they are village. Yeah, but I'm just thinking of the place to live.
I'd go the Bucks.
Would you?
Yeah. Tampa Bay.
Dallas Cowboys. That's a nice area.
Nah.
Texas?
Nah.
Nah.
Too hot.
Too hot?
Too hot.
No
proper
beach.
Proper hot. I'd have to get a...
Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
Full of oil. Miami, that would be cool.
Yeah, Miami, yeah. No, Tampa Bay.
Nah?
Just my type of thing.
Okay.
Tampa Bay. I don't even know really anything
Tampa
about
Bay
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay is in Florida, by the way.
Yeah. Nice part of the world. Nice part of the world. Good choice.
Yeah.
I definitely would go NFL, big games every week. Kind of that.
Good fans.
You know, it's the whole weekend as well.
Yeah.
Great
and I'd have a barbecue in the back of my truck.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
All right, mate. To finish off the show today, I've got some questions for you.
Yes, you do.
Now, there's been a lot of talk about Sam Kane.
Yes.
Being the captain of the All Blacks. And is he good enough? And yada, yada, yada. Okay?
Okay.
So I thought my questions would be in and around Sam Kane.
Okay.
And in his position. So I've got four players. I've got Dalton Papali'i, Sam Kane, Tom Christie, who's the Crusaders,
yeah.
And Fraser McWright.
Okay, from the Reds.
From the Reds. So you have to guess who has the best stats in the areas, okay, for that particular area.
Okay.
Out of those four players.
Okay.
So, our first one is average gain when they carry. So, this is done on meters.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the meters that each person has, but I'm not going to tell you.
Match them the name.
I won't tell the name. Yep. So, the top is 3.2 meters per carry.
Okay.
The one underneath that is 2.9 meters. The one underneath that is 2.3 meters. And the last one is 1.4 meters per carry. So you have to guess who's the top. And you then have to guess what Sam Kane has.
Sam Kane has the bottom. Whatever.
1.4. So you are going to go with that as your answer?
He's got the bottom.
Yeah, so that's 1.4. You're right.
Okay.
Yep. Who's got the top?
I have never seen this Fraser McWright guy.
Okay, so you just count him out then, mate.
Well,
count him out.
I'm going to go with him.
You're going to go with him?
No. I will go with Dalton Papali'i.
You're right, mate.
Right, there you go.
Dalton Papali'i, 3.2 metres per carry.
Wow.
And Sam Kane, 1.4. Tom Christie, 2.3. And Fraser McWright, 2.9. Now, I think, I'm not sure this is on the weekend stats, but he's an impressive player. I was obviously going to go for Hooper. Don't know. Young. I was going to go for Hooper as well, but he's only obviously played like one or two games back after being in Japan. So it was just a bit untidy. And you know me, I like to be tidy. Okay, so you 2 from 2, mate. Mm. 2 from 2. Next one is tackle percentage.
It's the same people, same four people.
Same four people. So yep. I'm going to go through the percentages.
Yeah.
So you've got the lowest, 91%.
That's the lowest.
That's the lowest.
Wow.
94% and two people on 95%.
Okay. I think Tom Christie is part of the top.
Okay. Is it your guess?
Yep.
So you're saying Tom Christie top?
Yes.
Wrong. Okay. Very, very close though.
Okay.
Sam Kane.
Sam Kane top. Oh, hang on. No, I've already guessed top, so I need to guess bottom now.
No, you need to guess Sam Kane.
Oh, I need to guess Sam Kane.
Yeah. So what was his? So is he 95, 94, 91?
He's the bottom.
You think he's the bottom?
Yeah.
Oh. He's at the top.
Mate. Is he?
95%. Yeah.
Him and who?
Dalton Papali'i.
Right, so both of them.
Fraser McDry, not so good, 91%. Still very good, though, let's be honest. I'd hate for these stats to be around when I was playing. percentage of people cut in half, 100%. Percentage of tackles.
Headbutting of shoelaces.
Okay, and last one, sir. Turnovers. As sevens, they are, big thing is turnovers, isn't it? So in the season so far, the number of turnovers, one. So the lowest figure is 3, I believe. I'm just going through these. yes, that's right. So we're averaging, I'll go through them. So we've got 3 is the lowest. Then we've got 8. We've got 12. And we've got 8. So 2 8s, a 12, and a 3, was it? Yes. So who's going to be the...
McWright is top.
McWright is top. Okay, so you're saying McWright is top on 12.
Yep.
You're right.
Okay.
But where is Sam Kane? Yeah. So there's 2 on 8 and 1 on 3.
I reckon he's on 3.
100%?
No. Yeah.
Wrong, mate. He is
on
8.
Who's on 3?
Dalton Papali'i.
Huh?
It just shows, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now,
he's more of a, well, that sort of, you know.
Attacking runner.
He's an attacking ball carrier.
Yeah. Big unit.
Big unit.
It's a little bit
more. Is he more
wrong
of a 6 or an 8 rather than a 7?
No, he isn't. He's an out-and-out 7. Yeah, I mean, all of these guys can play in all these positions, can't they? But he's an out-and-out 7.
Right.
So you've done pretty well there, sir. It's interesting,
is
it there,
three
isn't
from,
it?
3 from 6.
3 from 6.
50%. Thank
so
you.
That's your pretty much, that's you normally. Sort of average.
Thank you.
That's the end of the show.
Yes.
So end how can people help us, sir?
They can like, subscribe, they can share, they can 5-star review, obviously.
They can. And if they are sitting at home now, and they have not sent an email in asking a question.
Oh, village.
Then you need to do that.
Yeah.
If you're sitting at home and you've enjoyed our dulcet tones for the last year or more, you need to do something for the show.
Definitely.
Show your appreciation by sending us an email, asking us a question, telling us a humorous story.
Yeah.
We haven't had one
or
of those for a while, have we?
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, the lads.
Make sure you put Damo first.
Whoa. Anyway. On behalf of TikTok, thank you.
That'd be good, jokes. Eh? That'd be good if we had that as our sponsor.
Imagine.
Talking to the microphone, mate. What are you doing?
Oh, imagine.
Absolute rookie today.
Yeah, that was village. Yeah, sorry.
Rookie.
Sorry.
Anyway, mate, until next time.
See you soon.
Podcast Network. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.